The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Flame on. I am Brian the Bear. I am surrounded by my brethren of flamers. I have Eric the Muscle Daddy.
Hey, baby.
Looking very daddy-tastic tonight.
Thank you.
I have the question.
Hi, Mama. Mama Bear.
Yes, I am motherly, I guess. I don't like to think about that, but oh, God, I sound like
his house coat.
You leave my moo-moo out of this.
And his hair curlers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need them. And, of course, we have our amazing auteur, Mr. Jared.
Hi.
I would like to take this brief moment in our introduction to say that Oral will be joining us shortly. In fact, he is en route as we speak. And also, I would like to say that...
Can't wait.
Jared, who has been doing our album art since, what, 2 years
since
ago?
Started, yeah.
He is graduating from our little internship program. And though he will stay on the show, he will not be going anywhere. He will not be doing our album art anymore. So if you have been enjoying that, please let him know. He would love to hear that. And he's been doing a great job. So we're going to miss that aspect of him. However,
send your portfolios to me.
Yes, we will be having a contest coming up, and that will be for whoever would like to contribute album art to do that. And I know a couple people who might be interested, so stay tuned. We may have some original art still coming your way every episode. So without further ado, let's get into some movie discussion. This has been a very prolific time for moviegoers, since it is, of course, the beginning of the summer. Three movies that we've almost all seen, although one in the middle that, you know, half of us have seen, but close enough. We'll start with the first big summer movie, I think, and that's Iron Man 3. All here except Jared. Did you see it?
No.
So
you can spoil it for me. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, let's say that too at the beginning, because I know people get all bent out of shape if we spoil things, and you know they don't.
You really,
know.
You haven't seen it by now.
Well, and they had a whole promotion too.
Online. Yeah.
They had a whole thing where if you saw it Memorial Day weekend, you got some comic, or there was some, I don't know, there was some promotion. I don't know if you guys had to do, but anyway, what did we think?
Well, I like to call it Iron Man 4, because I feel like Avengers was of Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
He like took the lead in that movie, and he was the one who did like the self-sacrifice, which played into Iron Man 3 a lot, or Iron Man 4, as I call it. And no, I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun. It was definitely better than the second one. Although the second one's not a bad movie. I know people will give that a bad rap.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
I mean, but
I don't have to convince you guys.
It gets a bad rap. It really does.
Iron Man 3 was good. It had, he spent a lot of time out of the suit, and it was more about him, like what makes him like a hero and not instead of the suit.
And him dealing with the whole, what happened with the event.
Yeah, the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Which is cool. I like that.
Me too. And like the little boy is like, I loved you in A Christmas Carol.
Oh, their relationship really was, I think, one of the highlights of the film.
Oh, the other boy. Yeah.
Oh, like the other boy.
I was talking about the boy in the beginning when he first... And he looks like the Christmas Story kid.
Yes. So let's talk a little about some of the things we liked about it. Lots of suits in a fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Tons and tons.
And for those people who really like the different suits, especially like the Hulk Buster and all that stuff. Like,
but it didn't, that was upset. It didn't do anything.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wait.
What did it hold up something?
Hold up that steel beam. And like that was, I wanted to see it like squash somebody.
Yeah. Cool. So, it did have a long stay of Marvel of Iron Man's villains, Mandarin. And again,
Travis Slatterly.
We're going to spoil the hell out of this. So please, if you have not seen this, you might want to turn back and come back a little bit later. Did we like what they did with the Mandarin?
I did. I mean, Aaron said it best from a comic shop. He turned around and somebody was bitching about, they didn't do the Mandarin right, blah, blah, blah. And Aaron went right up to him and said, what's your favorite Mandarin story? And nobody could say anything. So I love the approach they did with him.
I mean, I'll have you know that I said that to Aaron. Now he uses it.
Oh, now he, that's
and
where he got
yeah,
it
and he put it in like the trivia game he had when he has yeah, it's right here. All right, guys.
sorry, Kier.
No, but so, that's true. Like, but it's true. There is no, people are like, oh, he's so iconic. Like, no, he's not.
So
really,
what does he do? He has a lot of rings. He's very
to explain to explain the take they did. Basically, he is thought to be the big bad, sort of an Osama bin Laden kind of esque character. And when Tony Stark goes to confront him, he turns out to be an actor paid for by the other sort of villain in the film, who at first you don't think is a villain, but who actually turns out to be responsible for
the sexy villain.
Guy Pearce is not unattractive for some people. He's a little thin for me. But the extremist stuff comes to play, and I have to go back and reread this. Was he the guy who in the Warren Ellis thing did the extremist?
No, I didn't read it, but I heard that he I think he doesn't even make it that far in the story. Like, his character dies or is phased out or something.
Okay. I mean, it's
so they really made it their own story, but it's, and it's not even quite the same as what it was in the comic book, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Stark ends up with this new technology that allows him to be, like, kind of exude the suit out of his pores and become the suit, whereas they didn't go that route in this version.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise appearance. Just choppered in. I don't know if you heard that.
Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. He's coming down.
Did you hear me scrape up against the current?
Oh, I hate that. Oh. And I'm so glad I didn't wear my MAP Foundation shirt, because I almost did, and then we would have had two shirts on the radio, which would have been terrible. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Oral.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
We're just talking about Iron Man 3. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I took it for what it was, which is like a fun romp. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, yes. And I love Robert Downey Jr. in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And so it was just like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with giant like robots for me. Or like people-sized robots and one giant robot. It wasn't the greatest movie. I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I enjoyed Iron Man 2. Even though, like, I love Iron Man, like, the first movie, I saw it, like, 3 times in theaters, like, I prefer this one because it gives you the story of Iron Man that sometimes needs to be told, which is him out of the suit and still being, like, a hero. And that's exactly what that movie gave you.
Yeah, a lot of people are complaining. They're like, Iron Man 3, but there's like barely any Iron Man in it. It's like, no, the point is, Tony Stark is Iron Man.
But
he doesn't need the suit.
There was a lot of the suit, and I thought there was plenty of it.
Oh, especially at the end. Yeah.
I think the end made up for the 50.
I mean, it was good because I enjoyed that it was more about him than the suit. Because what was the climax of the first one? It's like, is the suit going to run out of power before he can finish? Yeah. But it was so much different this time around that I really enjoyed it. And I really like the villain, because the villain is this guy who can just tear chunks out of Iron Man's armor and like rip them in half like they're nothing.
Right.
Which is, I think, a lot. It's like, that's like scary. You don't know if he's going to make it.
Well, I loved the whole homage to Fing Fang Foom, that he had the dragon tattoo and he breathed fire.
I didn't even think about that. That's really funny.
I was
funny.
Like, oh, look, Fing Fang Foom.
And yeah, because you never will see that in a movie.
Oh, God, no.
Unless they make a next wave movie, which, God help us, wouldn't that be amazing?
You know, I will say,
like, no.
I'll say one last thing. Like, the naysayers who have told me they don't like Iron Man have actually no merit. Like, the ones that I have heard, it makes no sense. They're like, I wanted this. I'm like, that was Iron Man 2. I wanted this. That was the first Iron Man. And then I found out that somebody was mad because the like, Easter egg at the end wasn't... Oh. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I don't
know. No. It wasn't a sneak peek at the West Coast Avengers movie.
That's hilarious. They couldn't have been serious.
They were dead serious. Because it's Black Ben.
I will admit the Easter egg at the end did disappoint me. And part of it was because when I saw the movie, I enjoyed it a lot. But the person I saw it with, they weren't as into it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, we gotta stay for the, you know, and the theater was being bitchy and annoying, and it was just not a great experience, and we were waiting for the credit, and then finally they do the scene, and you're like, oh, it's a joke. It's like the falafel or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not
shawarma?
The shawarma scene. It's not a setup like the very first Iron Man's, you know, with Nick Fury.
I feel like that shawarma scene sort of set the tone for the post clips now. Of they're just going to be sort of lighthearted. Yeah. Like, see, we're done with the kind of the serious setups, and now we're just having fun.
And that might be the case, but I'm kind of hoping that with Thor, they actually do finally, like, okay, here's a little nugget of what's coming.
But, you know, is that really fair to the movie? Like, a movie should be on its own. Like, yeah, Iron Man gave you, like, small clips as, like, panic attack flashbacks to Avengers. But, like, is that fair for a movie to say, hey, I know you're really here to see what's next?
Well, I mean,
that's what I kind of get.
It's not
from
the point, but given that they are building this movie universe, it seems to warrant something. But I think logistically it was because the production cycle was just, it was too early in the cycle of their development of what came next to really do anything. So
I don't think that was the case, because they know what they're doing, and they have a lot of stuff already like set in stone and filmed and stuff. So they could have put a Thor thing in there, a Captain America thing in there, or they could have put an Ant-Man thing in there, but they didn't. You know, they wanted to do that because they know how much people enjoyed the bromance in Avengers between Bruce Banner and Tony Stark. So they just gave a little funny thing. Man, what do you want?
I was disappointed, but that was my expectations.
Speaking of sitting through the credits, shout out to my friend Brian Potter, who worked on the movie when they shot in Miami. And his name was under the Miami crew.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Oh. Along with like the 5,000 other names. Do you see that wall of names that came down for the visual effects?
Where you're like, excuse me, can you pause this?
And I like the credit sequence. I love the music during the credit sequence. It was very fun and action packed and just, it was fun. So.
Yeah, so we liked Iron Man 3. Not where do we rank it in all of Marvel movies?
I think it's pretty far up there for me.
Better than Avengers?
No.
Better than the first Iron Man?
No.
For me personally,
close.
Yes.
Close.
Okay. I think my favorite is Iron Man 1, and then the Avengers, and then probably Iron Man 3.
See, I love Captain America as a movie, so that's up there for me.
Oh, really? I think for some reason I like Thor more than I like that movie. I can't get over how it turns into a montage of fight sequences after he becomes Captain America. And he jumps off something and, like, walks away, and there's, like, a huge explosion in the back, just like in Wolverine Origins. And I was like, don't call back to that movie.
It gets a pass only because it's sort of meant to be sort of stylistic and sort of cheesy and sort of that era.
I say no. Next movie.
Fine. We actually ended up world. Did you see Great Gatsby?
Yes, I did.
Oh, fantastic. So I have not read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking, I know, because really? A lot of people have, right? It's like a staple of literature. We just never read it in our school, and I just never went back.
I've read half of it.
I was required to read it, but I didn't read
it.
Oh, gotcha.
I read it of my own volition.
I should have. I would like to go back and read it, but... Pat, our bearskin rug, and my boyfriend, we went and saw it together, and he loves the book. It's one of his favorite books.
Hold on. You said boyfriend instead of partner. Ooh, that means trouble in the bear den.
Did I say partner before? It's back and forth. It's one of his favorite books, and so he really was excited about the movie, and he really thought they did a good job adapting it, not keeping it, you know, word for word, although in some parts it was. And so I would like to hear people who've read the book, like, you know, did you guys think it was a successful adaptation?
Am I the only one who read the book?
I read half of it.
Okay. I love Gatsby.
Uh-huh.
I think it was really great. Like, Baz Luhrmann is really interesting because, like, I still not seen all of Moulin Rouge. It just doesn't.
I'm with you, girl.
I love that movie. It's so good.
Die of the consumption already.
No, Satine.
But
I forgot her name.
But
on my Twitter profile, it says I'm a penniless sitar player.
Nice.
I thought it was great. I like the soundtrack. Some people think it's overhyped, but I really like how different it feels.
So let's address the soundtrack real quick. So for those of you who don't know, who's the artist who did the soundtrack? Jay-Z?
It's Jay-Z.
Produced it and kind of brought musicians
Lana
in.
Lana Del Rey was in there.
Lana Del Rey's song was fantastic. I really love that song. And they weave it in throughout the
I like Fergie's song.
That's one of the ones where
I'm
like...
Is that
the
one in the club?
No, it's the first one. In the speakeasy, that's the
Geeky
orchestra... and Emil?
I don't know.
That was doing one Crazy in Love. And then the one, I think A Little Party Never Hurt Nobody, I think that's the Fergie one.
Okay. What's the one that they play? They're driving down through the bridge, and there's like a bunch of people in the car, and the chauffeur's driving them. They're just hanging out, and
I can't remember.
It's some modern hip hop song, and like that's the thing. Lerman loves to be anachronistic in his music choices and who he brings in, and like that's the only thing that I just thought was ridiculous. But I understand why he's doing it, and it didn't bother me for most of the film. But that scene, and then the speakeasy, it was just like. Oh, I don't know. This just feels weird, you know, because it's the 20s.
Well,
it's,
you know, did you ever watch Marie Antoinette?
I heard they had that element in there as well. Yeah.
Moulin Rouge does it, of course.
You know.
And you know, it just suited me. But I think everyone, like, rags on Tobey Maguire, but he was fine.
Oh, he's fine, yeah.
Supposed to be the doe-eyed optimist that's corrupted claws his way out, like, a changed man.
Mm-hmm.
But,
the acting was pretty good.
Yeah,
the
like it was great. I loved it as a period piece. I can't wait to play the drinking game.
What's the drinking game?
Every time he says old sport, you take a drink. Every time someone takes a drink, you take a drink.
Every time someone cheats on somebody, you take a drink.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm excited.
Why don't you just drink?
Just get an IV and you'll be
done. Just drink.
I really liked I liked the pop music. I liked the emotional aspects of it. I thought they really hit home with, you know, how it's supposed to make you feel about, like, that one that got away and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't... And then what I didn't like was it sort of missed the mark on... Because it's about, like, old money, new money, and, like, excess and stuff. You know, for those of you who have read the book and had to write a report on it. It's about all those things. But in the end, there's these themes of, like, the green light that he's reaching towards. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? The eyes on the billboard. Baz Luhrmann just hitting you over the head with that. He's like, oh, look, the green light. Look, the eyes. The light. The eyes. It was just, subtlety. Like, so much.
Luhrmann does not believe in subtlety.
It was just...
Subtext.
It was way too much. And even, like, the funny moment where Daisy... She has the shirts, and she just, like, starts crying. She's like... I've never seen such beautiful shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they, like, ruined it with, like, Tobey Maguire's, like, narration. It's like, and then she said, oh, these shirts. And it's just like, oh, my God.
See,
just
I didn't even know that was a big
say
moment.
If you go watch the original one with Robert Redford, it's, like, a lot better. It's really good.
I'll have to check it out, and I want to read the book now. The one thing I will say, and again, I didn't read the book. I didn't know this. Daisy's a bitch. Holy crap. I thought that it was like a tragic ending where they both had like this kind of Romeo and Juliet thing and they both die. And I'm like, oh shit, she's a bitch. And she
Why is she a bitch?
Because she turns her back on this guy who's basically done all this.
He's a homewrecker.
Oh, I ain't saying no. No, I don't, that element of it, I'm less like against. And they do a very good job of painting the husband as a total terrible, terrible person.
I thought he was the best part of the movie, actually, the husband.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, in that you don't want to like him, he was very successful.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know.
And those parties, oof, that made me want a party. I was like, dang, I don't care how good this movie is. I just want to go to the after party.
So let's move on. Star Trek Into Darkness.
I haven't seen it.
We won't spoil.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
We won't spoil the, I think, things that you're probably worried about spoiling.
Okay, here's the thing.
What do you know?
I know it's Khan.
Okay.
And you know that.
Then we're good. That's really the biggest thing, honestly.
Okay, we'll keep it. No, this is a spoiler.
Everybody's
hardcore.
Dead. Wasn't that terrible?
This is a hardcore.
They killed off the whole cast and all that's left is the Tribble. Yeah,
that was terrible.
Now, what I will say about this movie is it's very referential and does things that are very nod, wink, fan servicey for Star Trek fans.
Mm.
And I think it does way more in this movie than the first one. And I didn't. At first, I liked it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I see what they're doing. But as more and more built up, I felt like, okay, you're really diminishing. You're getting less and less out of this, and it's actually starting to bother me.
Yeah.
Did you guys agree?
That was the same feeling I had, too.
I've only seen Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan.
I've only seen that once in my life, and I'm not a Trekkie.
So I knew
the story, and I saw like the twists, but maybe not as many as you saw of like references and stuff. So that didn't bother me. But I enjoyed, you know,
the flip-flop at the end.
And I won't spoil
there
it for
are
oral,
things
but,
that
you know.
Are very different from the original continuity. And it's actually a lot more like Space Seed than Wrath of Khan in some ways. So it's interesting. And I'll tell you right now, Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan, or, well, what's his name? What's his name ostensibly? It's like...
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
It's like John Harrison.
John Harrison.
Yeah.
Like, amazing, so well. Like, I love him already on Sherlock. No,
he's great on Sherlock. Yeah.
And this movie, he just like chews the scenes. Every scene he's in is amazing.
Yeah, he definitely has a presence.
He's dark.
Are you trying to do an impersonation?
No, I'm just trying to talk about the visuals because, you know, most of these shows we never talk about that. So.
Oh yeah, please feel free.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Like, let me ask you this.
Oh my god! Tell us how you really feel.
Let me ask you this: Lens flare or no?
Yeah, that's what everybody said.
I didn't notice it as often as, you know, J.J. Abrams is very notorious for doing.
No, lens flare.
But I was very pleased with the level of imagination that they employed in the second Star Trek movie, because you're exploring Earth, which is very seldom seen in the Star Trek universe, and then you see these beautiful, gorgeous, futuristic architecture, and then these, you know, everyday vehicles that go around from point A to point B, like the garbage truck that they were on. You know, with Benedict Cumberbatch beating the crap out of them, and I was very impressed with that.
I agree.
Imagination
completely.
And it wasn't over the top, you know, futuristic. It was very subtle and very like I felt it was real. It could happen the way they were doing it.
Yeah, it wasn't
feel real.
It felt like just like not tomorrow, but like 100 years from now, as opposed to like 300 or 400 years. But no, the visual look of the buildings, and you're so right. They never spend time in the TV shows because, quite frankly, it's a cost a lot of money that they could do that and spend so much time on Earth showing the society, showing the Federation, showing all this. Like, that's awesome. It's really cool.
The only time – oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I love the horror that she fucking got out of the chair. She takes off the thing and she does something.
Oh, horror kicks ass.
She kicks ass in
the Klingons.
She throws that fucking thing
at them. Do you know they're Klingons?
Yes, I heard they were.
Now, I will say I wish there was a little more of the Klingons.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Since they were cut from the first movie, they were supposed to be there already, you know, way back 4 years ago already. I'm glad they had as much scene time as they did. And they play a fairly pivotal role, so.
Yeah, they never came back to the Klingons. I thought they were going to, like, return. Like the third act,
I think that might be
the third movie.
The third movie, they're setting up a thing there.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, I would say this movie is just as much as the second one, but I like that it had a better villain. It was just like the first one. They even had a scene where they dive into space in like suits and have to like
I thought they had done
land
that
on something. And
but you've seen that in the trailer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, I was like, oh, that's really familiar. But again, the villain was a lot better. But then. It doesn't really feel like a Star Trek movie to me. Like, there's nothing Star Trek about it except the names and the places and the designs.
It's not dry.
Well, like, I mean, Kirk and Spock, they were just like the actors.
Yeah.
You know, Leonard
Chris
Nimoy
Pine. And,
everybody played their roles perfectly.
Yeah.
It was like seeing them again.
Yeah. Quinto, his Spock was a little... I didn't think he was as successful this movie as the first movie as Spock.
I love when he was running and his bangs just flew up.
The girl.
I'm still pissed off at Carl Urban because the
what
the bones.
You don't like it?
It's
he's just grumpy.
Like he's just so big. Though.
He's so grumpy.
He's grumpy.
He's hot. I don't care.
He's hot. Don't get me wrong.
He's hot and grumpy.
I do like some Carl Urban.
We can talk about Carl Urban later.
Oh, ooh, sounds
can
exciting.
We Google it.
I kept thinking the whole time while watching it was like, this is what Star Wars is going to be like. It's going to be really fast. It's going to be exciting. Did you notice like within 5 minutes, the conflict had escalated to like obscene things? You're having like a heart attack. Like, in the first 5 minutes, they're like, oh, we have the shuttle and we have to go in here. And then there's the tribe and they're chasing them. And then, oh, wait, the cable broke and the shuttle broke and we can't get him and we can't even beep him up. And what are we going to do? And it's going to explode. Like, it was like all
like,
in, like,
you know,
such small
shot. You're right.
Yeah. Like,
it's,
they just
storytelling.
Kept, they kept
good storytelling.
I mean, I'm not sure that's not a story.
No,
really.
I'll say it's good storytelling because if you believe that for a moment they're not going to make it out of it, that's good storytelling.
I mean, I knew they were going to make it out of it every time.
You know they will. But you have that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
I mean,
I felt like that.
I thought that was a little much, actually. But again, it was a very exciting movie.
Oh,
it was
definitely.
Simon Pegg, who we haven't talked about, was like...
He barely...
He was super funny.
Scenes, but you know...
Hold on, I'm running.
That was awesome.
Like,
but no, I just...
And then you saw the fish, and it was just like...
I did want more of him. I wanted more of Chekhov. I wanted more of Sulu.
Well, I like Chekhov, how he was when he took over.
Yeah,
that was
but
pretty...
I wanted more of each of those characters. I felt like they spent a lot of time with the big... Now it's like the big four with Uhura in there.
Yeah, she was all badass.
And I love Nurse Chapel, although we will say the gratuitous underwear scene, unnecessary, but I didn't care. But they did film a scene with Cumberbatch in the shower. That they cut.
I saw that clip.
And they played it on like
he's
Conan.
Got some muscles. What the heck?
Oh yeah,
he was Pathfinder. Oof.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wait.
Benedict Cumberbatch? No.
The guy with Bones?
No, Carl Urban.
No.
Oh, that's Carl Urban.
I didn't know he was a Pathfinder, though. So, overall, we liked it. And, Oral, we would love to see what you think after you get to see it.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll have going tomorrow, back. Right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, exciting. Love it. All right. Enough movie stuff. There's lots of movies coming out this summer, so you'll be hearing a lot more, I'm sure, over the next couple months. Television, we don't have too much. Of course, show's been wrapping up.
Yeah.
We are all, I think, very excited, though, that Joss Whedon has another show coming back to television. And it's a Marvel property, go figure. And it's all about S.H.I.E.L.D., which is exciting. From what we've seen, and this is, again, a spoiler if you've seen the Avengers movie, Agent Coulson has found a way to come back from the dead, surprising no one.
Well, yeah, it's just like, oh, was it a clone?
Yeah. I'm going with life model decoy.
But yeah. Did you hear the official, well, not official, but like someone attached to the project revealed how they're allegedly going to get him back? Is this that saying that he was like holding his breath and pretended to be dead?
No.
That's horrible. The explanation I heard.
So it might be like a quip he makes. So I was just doing that, you know, whatever. I just, because there's no, I mean, obviously, they're, like the guy, like right in the. Anyway.
Yeah, got him in the chest. Where the cast, vital things are.
A gun from Angel is coming back, and supposedly he is going to be, he has superpowers. So I think he might be one of the only ones in the show that actually is a superpower. The guy who played Gun and Angel. I don't remember what else he's
done. He was in
something.
So there's speculation that he might be either Luke Cage or he might be Rage from New Warriors. Right?
I heard it was the new. I heard he was not Luke Cage. Luke Cage, so Rage. It was the.
He's a little young to be Luke Cage. So
yeah.
Isn't it Rage for the with the mask or the
Night Thrasher?
Maybe Night Thrasher.
But no, was it Luke Cage? They're depicting him now in Ultimate Spider-Man as a young kid.
Huh. Well, then maybe they are going with that.
So maybe
I don't know.
We'll see.
Now, we did not talk about the RuPaul finale, and we were very into RuPaul. I know the last couple full cast episodes, we were all about the RuPaul. Now, I know I was Team Jinx, and I think Eric was Team Jinx.
Oral? Of course I was Team Jinx.
Oh, good. Oh, good. And I know, Jared, did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it.
Were you Team Jinx?
Team Jinx.
Yes.
Water off
a
duck's back.
Now, I got to briefly meet Jinx at Parliament House. We had a little meet and greet. And when I say little meet and greet, it was a very big meet and greet, but you got about a second with each one, or with the whole group, because it wasn't individual.
She said hi to her.
I said hi, and I said I loved your Sondheim, because she sang a cover of The Ladies Who Lunch from Company that she changed the lyrics to. It was awesome. She is such a good performer. I was so thrilled that she won. Although I do like Alaska, or at least I liked Alaska. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Having seen her live and perform, though, and seen her up close, like, she's trashy. Like, she is just... Oh, I don't know. It's like the drag without the glamour, or with like a really coked out version of like that glamour. I don't know.
I thought it was heroin, but okay, we'll go with coke.
Who else was in the
Coco
final three?
Montrese.
Coco,
no,
she's,
which no. you saw. She wasn't in the final.
Right. But she was. Yeah, she was.
It
at
was
the
detox.
Oh, detox. That's right. Well, yeah. So at Parma's house, it was Coco, who's very nice. From everyone who met her, and she's Disney, former Disney cast member.
Shocking.
I know. Ivy Winters was there, Jinx and Alaska, and it was a great time, and it was fun. But, so I guess we're all in agreement that she deserved it.
She deserved it. Yes. I was so happy. I'm so happy when I saw
Miss Ivy Winters got Miss Congeniality.
So I'm very excited, and I actually now, more than ever, in fact, my mom even gave me a hard time about this, I actually am really interested in drag culture. Of course, Chantel Roche, who was at the Wayne Foundation.
Fabulous.
Great friend of mine, and actually had her on Flame On. Q and I interviewed her back when we did like the little night out thing. That was one of the ones we interviewed. And she performed at the Wayne Foundation, the Wayne Casino Night, sponsored by the MAP Foundation for the Zebra Coalition.
Wow, that's very good. It? Very good.
Who hosted it?
Hosted by our very own Oral.
Yeah, that's me.
And did some stand up, and it was fantastic.
And also, Eric like set the whole thing up.
And
Eric, are you gonna give him any credit?
No,
wasn't it his idea?
No.
Like everything,
not at all. No, Oral and Eric did a lot. Eric set all the stuff up. He brought Pat in. Pat did karaoke that was very, very successful, and is, you know, hopefully going to lead some other things. The whole night was really lots of fun, and I think somebody got some prizes.
Kind of sort of won and then won.
No, yeah, they had a poker tournament and I got second place, but the first the first place prize was Universal passes, but the first place winner already had some, so he just gave me them. So I got second place, got the first place prize. Mm-hmm. And I shocked Aaron that I know how to play poker.
That was awesome.
We had a very nice time. Good crowd. You guys,
hard ass. There was some like real poker players. I saw like one guy like looking at his car like, whoa.
Yeah, hey. One guy was like, we were during the break. He was like, oh yeah, I'm in a league above everyone else here, and then he got like 10th place. And then three gay people took the top three spots. So I was like, bringing it home.
You guys raised over $1,000.
Uh huh.
And we have
congratulations.
More.
Yeah, we have more.
That very, very cool.
Oh, girl, remind me tomorrow when we're shooting the video for Shop Talk. Shop Talk, it's on A Comic Shop's YouTube channel.
Is it you and Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Remind me to actually donate to Zebra because I haven't done that yet.
Well, you bought the show.
Well, I write your check, don't I? I write your check, so I'll just take a chunk.
moving back to television, we had a little diversion there. Oral and I had some very large omission last episode when we did not even mention the return of our favorite television show, Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. God, has it been that long?
Yeah, it has. We actually have had, for our main cast, we've had about a month and a half between episodes.
Yeah.
But having said that, the season is already done.
But you know what? This season for me has been one of pure like wonder, and I wasn't amazed at every episode, but I was so thoroughly entertained.
What was your favorite?
Okay, I have to interrupt you. You see, the minute you guys say Doctor Who, everybody goes to their phone.
Yeah, I know. We'll make it short.
That is not our problem.
It's funny.
Other people.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. I'm sorry, Jared.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything. Sorry.
Oh, no. Journey to the Center of the TARDIS was my favorite because I love TARDIS Center episodes because it forces them to talk about like how this show works. Like,
yes.
How these things interact with one another. Like, what else is in the TARDIS? The library. Everyone's talking about the
library,
pool.
The pool. They mentioned the Eye of Harmony. They showed the Eye of Harmony. Yeah. Right? Like, all these little Doctor Who tropes and traditions and things that have been referred to, they got to play with.
I loved the last episode, the finale.
We have to spoil this, and it's very interesting because I actually knew sort of the ending without knowing it was the ending.
See, I knew the Clara bit.
Okay, you knew what?
I knew all that.
For those who don't know, of course, Doctor Who, blah, blah, blah. The companion this season is new, and the whole mystery has been, why does she keep appearing in the Doctor's timeline
and different
things? And dying. And what's the deal with her, and she's the impossible girl. Now, they also had this thing from a previous season where they're playing out the Doctor's greatest secret, and how if he goes to this one place, it's the fall of the 11th, and all this stuff about who is the Doctor, what is the Doctor's name. And the last episode of the season, called The Name of the Doctor, explores both, and actually answers both, sort of, you know, the name in a very unexpected way, and the greatest secret in a very unexpected way. But yeah, Clara's mystery is revealed. And
They never really talk about the, like, they don't tell the Doctor's name.
Right.
But, like, that last bit, that like 3 seconds, you're like, oh, this is exciting. And I know some people lost their shit because they're like, you ruined this, da 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 da. I'm just like, no one ever told you that watching Doctor Who would be linear. Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, the big reveal, just for those of you who don't know, and this leads right into the 50th anniversary episode, which is coming up in like 6 months. Hey, 50 years, same show.
That. 5 months.
Exciting. Or whatever. November. There is a new Doctor who we did not know about, and for those Doctor Who fans, like, that's like a huge deal, right? Mm-hmm. And he's played by none other than Alien and all kinds of other movies. Not Alien, I'm sorry. Yeah, Alien. John Hurt.
Yep.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is exciting for Doctor Who purists. It was a short season because it was like a half season and all that.
Yeah.
But what I did really enjoy was that how each episode was sort of its own thing. And yet they still managed to keep that underlying story arc going.
Of pure terror.
Yes. So definitely check Doctor Who out. You have many months to catch up before the 50th. And then you get to see David Tennant come back. Yay!
Whoopee.
Oh, I love it. Shut up. So, and I'm probably wearing my ninth Doctor shirt here. Queen of Hearts or King of Hearts. What the hell is it?
I want to talk about how
that's
awesome.
A nine of hearts.
Is it nine? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to talk
about
it.
Makes more sense.
how awesome this season of Game of Thrones has been.
What?
Is it?
Yes. So good.
Yes. Is it?
It yes. is so ridiculously good.
I need to watch it. Is it going to go through? I do know about the Red Wedding. I don't know who dies in it, but I figure it's bloody. Does it? Do we know if it's going to go through the Red Wedding or not? Does this season?
I don't know anything about the Red Wedding.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Don't mention that.
Well, no. I'm not going to say who died. But
usually something crazy happens in episode 9 of every season.
Okay.
Like the first season, you know who got his head. Cut off, and then the second season it was the big battle of the Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
Third season they haven't really revealed what it's going to be. It comes out upcoming Sunday, and it could be the Red Wedding, it could be something else. They could deviate from the book, they could do that. There's another crazy thing that happens also in this book they could choose, but I think betting on the Red Wedding would be safe bet. But everything that's leading up to it is like gold. They had in the last episode they had Tyrion's wedding. Are you guys both current?
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I really liked that episode. I think that was my second favorite episode, especially in the end when we saw Sam fight a White Walker.
Yes,
and just the way they like shot that, and with the crows and everything on the Heart Tree, and the sword like shattering, and oh, that was incredible.
God, I gotta watch this.
It's so good. And
if anything, Lady Olenna, she's one of my favorite characters.
Who is who plays?
She's
her?
Like. The old woman. Oh, she's like the Queen of Thorns.
The gay one's mom.
Her grandmother or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah. Played by somebody well known, British actor, actress.
Rather. Oh shit!
Like from Doctor Who recently.
Just totally. Anyway.
Yeah, Marjorie had been like stealing the season, but I feel like Lady Olenna stole the season from her, and now like every scene with her is just awesome. She's like telling Tyrion how it is. Tyrion normally talks up other people. Sorry, go on.
Oh, but her and Tywin Lannister, that one.
But he got the best of her. But she's like finally somebody who lives up to the reputation. It's like really good, So it's really. I mean, I've read the books, and I'm still surprised by things that happen. The stuff with Gendry, like that didn't happen to him in the books. He's taking the place of a different character.
Oh, okay.
And so that sort of weird, awkward sex scene with Melisandre, I was like, oh my God, this didn't happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think the dialogue and the exchanges have been crisper than ever. Like everyone just knows their beats and they hit each and every one.
What do you guys think of Dany's story, where it's going with that Drahario or whatever his name is?
I haven't read the books, unfortunately, but I like the momentum that she's building up.
I love the I saw this on Tumblr. It's Dany with, instead of a dragon on her shoulder, she has what was the Homestar Burninator?
Oh, it's Trogdor.
Trogdor.
Oh my God, I love it.
It is awesome and hilarious.
I love it. Speaking of weird mashups, someone did X-Men as Game of Thrones characters, and they had Kitty Pryde with Lockheed.
Oh,
and it was great.
That makes sense. So, and I know other shows have been wrapping up. I'm getting caught up on Hannibal. So probably next episode, maybe we'll do a little recap of that. Is anyone else at all?
No. We'll also talk about Arrested Development if we got a chance to watch it.
I am excited about that. It's on Netflix. I may go back and watch the first three seasons just so I get more of the references, because it's been like 6 years. It's been a long time. So
I watched the first two already, and it's building its own references.
Okay.
It's not really referencing what came before it.
Okay. Well, that's good then. So maybe I won't do that. But, yeah, no, Game of Thrones. Oh, I wanted to mention Hannibal. It got renewed. So those of you who are kind of on the fence about Hannibal because, we don't know if it got renewed. It's coming back. Check it out. Eddie Izzard's been in it, and Gillian Anderson is in it. And if your fans are like, 90s, like X-Files, and that's huge, or if you like British comedians. So now we have a very special moment here in the show's history. For the last 2 years, we have had our dear question struggling with his identity issues and why people have asked us, like, why do you have this person on the show? Is he a superhero? Or does he think he's a superhero? What is he hiding? What's his big secret?
Were people really thinking
Who I actually was a, asked that?
Were people really thinking I was a
Go with it. Go with it.
Were people really thinking I was a superhero?
So
what were my powers?
Not unlike the name of the doctor, we now get to reveal the name of the question.
Joshua Yale.
That wasn't exciting at all.
Tonight, on a special edition of Wawa's.
No, so
most interesting people of 2012 and 2013.
You're being very charitable with that.
Thank you.
Most interesting.
I did not have my identity known to the public while on this podcast, because I work for a very conservative industry, and I was afraid of backlash from that, which is kind of, I guess, I don't know, ironic, because I'm very out, and, you know, I dress however I want, talk however I want, do whatever I want in person, but... You know, when it comes like to being online, your whole life is out there, and a Google search from, you know, an employer can turn up everything, and I just didn't want that to negatively impact me. But I thought, you know, sort of living behind, you know, a secret identity, as cool as it is to have a secret identity, you know, on a superhero podcast, or a nerd podcast, I should say, it started to bother me. That I couldn't be just like upfront and honest, and like, and I also have it stopped me from like talking about other parts of my life. Like I write for IGN, but I could only talk about that sort of like
tangentially.
Exactly. And you know, so now, but now I can do whatever I want, and it's out there. And
do you feel better?
I feel so much better.
Do you feel free?
And they don't no longer have to edit mentions of Joshua.
Oh, thank the maker
out of the show.
Even though we'll never see Joshua again, we'll always say Q.
You can still call me Q if you want to. And I actually went back and listened to the first show recently, and you say my name like 3 times in like the first hour.
Nice.
I guess we weren't editing it out back then. I don't know.
Someone else told me the same thing. They're like, you know, you mentioned his name like 100 times. I'm like, it was the worst kept secret for the last 2 years.
Yes, yes.
The Secret Avengers.
It's funny because of some of the reasons you cited, and you know we've talked about this. I actually also work in the same industry,
which let me finally beg the question to answer a question,
please. Oh,
so, do you prefer Josh or Joshua? That's not the question.
Joshua.
Okay, yeah, Joshua. One of my first questions. I only have 4.
I'll give you 2.
You'll give me 4 and you'll like it. So you and Brian work in a similar industry. Not
it's
exactly
the same.
We
work like across the street from each other.
Oh, okay. So I have a question. Brian, who has been there for like years and like you've
15.
Okay. Has worked there for 15 years. I mean, obviously out and proud.
What are you saying? My middle name on Facebook is Flame On. Hello.
Yeah. Like, what obstacles did you think you were going to face if Brian didn't encounter the big, I guess, show-stopping numbers of, like, career-ending things?
I don't understand the question at all.
Like,
if Brian didn't have to deal with anything you were afraid of,
how come you couldn't achieve and be honest and open with yourself? Or were honest and open with the show.
You're comparing me to Brian?
No, I'm saying that Brian in a similar industry or the same industry.
He's gay. He's admitting that he is Brian Pittard. Why can't you do the same?
Well, he is now.
Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. No, well, see, he's in a different spot than I am in his life. He's, like, successful, and he's in a high-ranking position, and he has a lot of weight to throw around, a lot of seniority. I'm just trying to get a job. You know, I just started. You know, things aren't the same. We're 2 different people. You know, you can't compare one person's coming out experience to another person's.
No.
That's pretty unfair.
I wouldn't do that, but my thing
is... You just did.
Is that, no.
And I made you say it 3 times.
No. I am not saying you... Everyone
Next question.
Comes out,
Next question.
No, everyone comes out in their own time. I completely understand that. Everyone's experiences are their own. My second question, which is a follow-up, is, like, what did you think? Oh, okay, I will say this. Like, you consider yourself a proud, open, and out individual. Don't you think that part of that is taking the struggle along with it? Like, you know, do you think that you...
Like, would you want to work for a company that might have not just people in it, but, like, that would just, like, discriminate? That kind of thing, I think, is what you're getting at. Is that right?
I was getting there. Okay, and so I would like to get there other people rushing me. Thank you,
Barbara. Can you bring in this airplane, please?
Yeah, I know.
First of all,
let's get a few things straight.
Oh, God.
Say it.
Oh, God.
Yes,
no, stop. Wait. Please stop.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to turn this into... a shade fest.
It's not a shade fest.
It was about to.
It's not a shade fest. What I'm asking you is what Brian so succinctly said is that, you know, do you feel like you would have copped out and you would have, you know, say you've gotten like several promotions in the past and you weren't honest and open with your job, but you're honest and open with other facets of your life. Do you think that's a little like cheap? Do you think that's a shortcut?
No. Next question.
No, let me, if I may, being in this similar position.
I feel like I'm being attacked.
No, I'm asking you questions.
Do you feel cheap?
I will say this.
Yes, I do.
I will say this. There have been times in my career, not that I've had to hide who I am, but I have had to turn it down a bit and not get into things that are personal to me. And trying to support myself and make mortgage payments and advance in my career, I understand where he came from with this, because you don't always have the luxury of, you know, if you have a job and it's paying your bills and you're really trying to, you know, you don't always have the luxury to be 100% of who you are. And I don't think that's entirely a bad thing. Not that it's a great thing, but you do what you got to do to make your money. You got to do what you got to do to get your career going. And I have been blessed that for the last however many years, I think it's like 15 or 14, I've been with a group of people working for the Navy that are open and accepting. Seamen
everywhere. Yeah.
They're very accepting of who I am. In fact, I was introduced back like right after I started as, oh, and he's the gay guy. Like, it wasn't something that was at all hidden. And I've never in my like day-to-day thing, not going out on projects and all that, I've never had an issue with that. Everybody's very supportive. It has not held me back at all. And in my experience, that's, you know, I feel like I've been really happy and I haven't had any problems. But I have heard people like Josh, which I still say Josh, but whatever, Q, who they have had to dial their flame back. They have had to protect their identity and some of the things they're into outside of work, mainly people who are in like the leather communities and some of that stuff, because they can't afford to have that come out at work and become something that is then used against them.
Yeah, the reality.
I have, and I'm sure we all had our moments. You know, when I worked on Wall Street, I had to tone it back. I dated my secretary Monday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, I was out in the clubs. So, I mean, we all had our moments.
Yeah.
Yes, and please don't think that I'm attacking you. I'm not. I just, like, it was the most thinly veiled smokescreen ever.
Well, and then here's the thing. When we first started talking about doing this, originally my idea, I have to share this, was to have it like a bit and basically out him on the show and he goes storming off and we had this whole Andy Kaufman sort of thing. That was what I wanted to do. But as we started talking about it more recently and we're like, I want to do this, I felt like this was a good opportunity to discuss these issues. I think Oral and Joshua and I both, we all said, this is a nice chance to discuss this issue because we're not the only people who've dealt with this, mm-hmm. and had to deal with this in their lives.
Deals with it.
Yeah, and if you're in a position where you can't really be out, you need to protect yourself, you feel like you need to protect yourself, that's okay. As long as you are honest with yourself and your friends and your family as much as you can be with your family, that sometimes is its own issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all good. You got to do what you got to do.
I'm not telling everyone that, you know, you should have a pride parade every time you walk into the office.
Well, I think at least playing ABBA as you walk
in. Yeah, yeah. I work in corporate America, you know, too. And, like, I completely understand, like, the trials and tribulations and what people go through. Yeah. But, like, my final question to you would be, Joshua, because we can all say fucking Joshua. Do you think that remaining silent for so long was worth it? Like, obviously, you've come to a different understanding and you've come to a different point in your life where you decided to say something. But, like, now looking back on it, how do you feel?
I don't regret it. I think, like I said, everything is you know, different for every different person. And that was just sort of an experience of mine, like, that I personally went through. And then looking back on it, it just shows me that it's you know, important and also okay to just, you know, be myself and not have to hide and do things. But I also, you know, I have to keep in mind that I do live in a world where, you know, when people look at your resume, the first thing they do is type your name into Facebook. Yes. And see what comes up, and they make snap judgments about you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever comes up, you know, online or whatever, if you know, they don't like gay people, like, you know, I'm screwed. I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I work in a very conservative industry, absolutely. You know, and it's connected to like the military and stuff, which is, it doesn't have the best track record. For
no,
right. They have a lot of homos there. I know well, a lot of actually gay people in the military and stuff. And I've heard a lot of positive stories, but also heard a lot of negative stuff. And it's still there.
And like, we're in a different era now with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being in.
Yeah, that's gone. Right. And I know, like, now we're about to talk about this in the news, but, like, more and more states are becoming accepting. It's 2013. Mm. Can't, like, get away with being, like, a bigot, like, a homophobe anymore. Like, that's, like, an excuse. Like, doesn't count anymore. Everyone is going to have their own time. Like, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're listening to this and, like, you're in the closet, you know, take this as, you know, a lesson that, like, for my story and Brian's story, and your fascinating story about Wall Street. You were on Wall Street? What the heck? I didn't even know that, Eric. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And, but yeah, you know, take that. But also, you have to protect yourself. They say you should never come out to your parents unless you can support yourself, because you don't want to come out and get kicked out. On the side of the road.
And that's what I deal with.
That's the Zebra Coalition. That's why the Zebra Coalition exists, because people came out when maybe their life wasn't ready for it. So, you know, just you have to take everything and do it yourself.
And I'm like I said, I'm glad that we had this to talk about this. You know, it's worth it for that.
I feel like it should have been a segment for October for Come Out with Pride in Orlando.
Oh, I should have saved it.
And, you know, I will say, like, Joshua, I am very proud of you. Aww. I mean, I know I don't say it often, and that sometimes we have a very tenuous relationship.
Yeah,
but,
you guys wouldn't believe, but Oral, like, gave me a compliment today. I was like,
you had to throw that in my face.
And you lost.
Just savor it.
Yeah.
Throw it in my face. Yeah. So,
thank you, Oral.
Actually, very timely, because as we mentioned, not only do we have two states that have just made gay marriage legal,
which were
Minnesota and Delaware.
Yay.
We also have the Boy Scouts that are finally. At least for scouts, not for scoutmasters, but for just the people in the, you know, that you can be gay and it's not a big deal.
Woohoo!
And I will say that, again, some people didn't understand this. They're like, oh, why does it have to be an issue? It should be like, don't ask, don't tell. Literally had someone on Facebook say this, and I don't normally get into other people's, like, posts and comment, but this one I had to. I'm like, do you understand that it shouldn't be a thing, and that now with this policy, it's not a thing. You can be a Boy Scout and be gay, and it's not going to be something that could get you driven out of the core. What are they? What is it? Organization, I guess? I don't know.
I was a Boy Scout.
Club.
Yeah, and, like, I know tons of gay Boy Scouts.
Well, I was a Boy Scout for a day. Then I went into Awana's, which is, like, the Baptist Boy Scout.
I was Awana's? Did you get little jewels in your crown?
Yes, I did. Like
Bible verses?
I got, really gay. I got to,
And you have a sash?
Yes.
You have a sash?
No,
it is the gayest thing
ever. When I made Pioneer, it was the happiest day of my life, because I got
like
my
Laura Ingalls.
No, I got my little, like, kerchief. It was super cute.
It really
sash,
is one of the gay things.
And rhinestones.
The Baptist
Great.
In other gay news, really quick local stuff. Pat and I did the AIDS walk for Team Bears in the City, which
Yay.
Was
awesome.
Actually very cool. I'd never done an AIDS walk. I've done 5Ks and whatever, and this was actually like a half 5K or whatever. But it's so funny because it took us through, not like around Lake Eola, which is what I had always heard that the AIDS walk did, which was really nice and scenic. And no, it took us under I-4 into Paramore, down Paramore, and then up back on like Church, which is hilarious because our bar that we go to a lot, Stonewall, was like a stone's throw away from one of the legs of the thing. And I was like, oh, shit. We went right by
him. So they stopped by home. Late, they had some snacks. They went and had a drink at Stonewall.
No, we passed that and Hamburger Mary's. And both were closed. And it's like, really? You're missing out. Anyway, maybe next year we can do Team Flame On. That'd be good.
Awesome. It's not on the same route. We won't.
Oh.
Well, honey, now, I'm a rich white woman on the inside. I can't walk through Paramore.
Paramore's a bad road, right?
You know, Paramore's had
not
some,
as bad as
some rough, rough spots. And, like, I've been to Paramore to do, like outreach work for MAP.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a really awesome youth center right there. But Paramore kind of rough, girl.
There are some, yeah, just...
I tried to tell my friend that, and he was like, no.
Let's keep...
Mm. Gay Days is nigh upon us.
Yes.
Now,
it's here.
Keep it back, Wanda. We have to keep it back.
Unlike previous years, we will not be there either doing interviews at the expo, nor will we be in the Bear Den doing our little, you know, giving away Jared's drawings and T-shirts,
Joshua,
whatever else
going.
We did.
Joss well, was going to be in every party.
But if you are there, of course, look for Joshua. You might find him.
We'll plaster your picture all over
upside down in a garbage can.
Drunk interviewing the wet man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll find him. I'll give him a high
you
five.
You really should.
Ask him for a free sample.
Now, if you are in town, this actually will be out right at the beginning of Gay Days. Come to
today?
Parliament House. Yeah, because that's, well, okay, Friday. So Parliament House, as you know, always is a big resort thing. I will be there, and Pat will be there taking pictures. So if you see some little shutter bug guy running around.
Don't take any pictures of the trash cans.
Don't think about Deborah Cox.
Or the bushes, or I'll be upside down.
Don't think about Melinda Carlisle.
Oh, now, you guys will be actually doing something... Not equally exciting, but still exciting.
Oh, you fucking bitch!
No, you guys will be getting to hang out with Jason Aaron. That's cool.
Do you think... Look, really, I really enjoy Jason Aaron's writing, but do you really think that I wouldn't rather be at the expo hanging out with you guys?
I know.
Drinking, day drinking, hardcore day drinking.
Getting your free...
Still day drink.
Jason Aaron is actually going to Magic Kingdom. For those that don't know, Gay Days is on Saturday... everyone goes to Magic Kingdom, Disney Magic Kingdom, and wears red shirts. But Jason Aaron's going there with his family.
Yes.
Which is going to be awesome story to hear afterwards.
And he's a very bearish man. And
yeah.
I
like to harass him about that. It could be
you really need to ask him about that.
That would be a nice question. So how'd you enjoy Gay Days?
A little culture shock for your kids.
But no, Gay Days will be missed this year for most of us.
So Jason Aaron's going to be at a comic shop. Whoop the fucking do.
Aww.
From 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., so we have no chance of hell going anywhere.
P.S., just to let you know, 2 a.m. rolls around. I'm peacing out A-Town down. Y'all can burn down the building for all I care. I got to work in the morning.
Oh,
I didn't think you would last that long.
Now let us move on to geeky news and geeky comic related things. Free Comic Day.
Why do we have to discuss Free Comic Book Day?
Some of us actually got to run around and enjoy it. I know some of us had to work. I'm sorry, guys.
Wow, he's just some of us.
I saw Eric from behind this mob of like.
I don't remember seeing you.
Seriously, this year at a comic shop, it was the busiest I've ever seen it.
It was our busiest and best day we've ever had in that store.
Well,
period.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was very busy, and I did not get the one issue I wanted, the Killjoys one, and nobody had it. Like, I went around everywhere.
It's now worth like $60 online.
Say that again? There's a Killjoys?
Yeah, I have it.
Wait.
I did get it eventually.
What? Tell me what this is.
So it's Gerard Way's new.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
they had a Free Comic Book Day thing
and
for that?
Becky Cloonan is the artist.
Yeah.
And it introduces the thing that's coming out like in June.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'll show you. But no.
You have it?
Yeah, I got it eventually.
Bill, stole it somewhere.
No. Bill Z from Comic Book Bears, the other show that I'm on, he came down to visit a couple weeks ago.
And you stole it from him?
He was so lovely.
He is very lovely and a great friend. And I'm so glad he came out. We got to go to Stonewall and do karaoke. But he brought me a copy. So I will have to go see how much it's going on.
Jared Way is like, God, I love. He wrote Umbrella Academy. He won an Eisner for that.
From what I read, I'm not as excited as I was.
Oh, it's not very good. Oh, no.
It's a preview thing. Who knows? I mean, it's a little story, but I don't know. We'll see.
You're right.
Okay. Now, also coming up very soon is Heroes Con.
Yay!
I get to go.
I'm very excited.
I'm sorry, girl.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry.
Oral is making them.
Oh, you don't
sorry.
Have to apologize to me.
No, I am.
Come on. I worked for Aaron
you
for 4 years. I finally can go
artist.
Somewhere.
Yeah. But. Not only will Joshua be there, not only will I be there, not only will Eric be there this year.
Stab! Uppercut!
Pat is also going to be joining us, and we'll be there taking pictures and hanging out, and we are going to have a fabulous time.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I have the...
Do I have to hang out with Aaron?
No.
You can
hang out with us.
You just have to sleep with him.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
I am very excited. I get to host the Kickstarter panel with Ben Temple.
Cool.
Ben Temple
Smith. I
know
it's Kickstarter.
Frank Avia. Ryan Brown, who, I will tell you right now, did an amazingly successful Kickstarter for his God Hates Astronauts book. And is super funny. And he and his girlfriend are a delight. And were lots of fun last year. I'm very much looking forward to seeing them again. And Nick Patara. Who's my Words with Friends buddy, Words with Scrabble. Anyway, lots of fun. So we're very excited, and we'll have a whole thing about that very soon. Now, let's dive into our books. Some of us have parties to go to and things to do.
What? It's gay days.
I'm
just
a going
busy
home
guy.
And masturbating and going to bed.
Honey, yeah. Some of us got to post an episode.
What's I'm Private so Eye? Sorry.
Just, huh?
What's Private? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Just Private Eye.
You know, as soon as we leave, I got someplace to be too. So,
nice. Ooh, girl.
Good for you, girl.
Good for you.
Can I just, can we start with Green Lantern number 20?
No. Private Eye, because we already mentioned it. Private Eye is the best book that you are not buying from your local comic book store. I am sorry.
It's digital only.
Digital only. Oh. It's Brian PDF. And Marco, not Marco.
Marcos Martin.
Yeah, Marcos Martin. It is, I think we have mentioned it, but it's issue 2 just came out. It is set in the near future. Deals with a private detective trying to figure out why this guy, his client, who was murdered, and she was going to hire him to investigate something. But it's all about what happens when the internet is not there anymore, but all the secrets that we've kept on the internet are available to everyone. And so it's a post, like, sort of...
Oh, I would be dead.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's a post-secrecy society. In the future, everyone has a secret identity.
And it is so cool from that sort of what-if speculative fiction thing. The art by Marcos Martin is awesome.
Yeah, everyone has... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's in a widescreen format that looks beautiful on a tablet.
Just for digital, yeah.
For digital only.
Everyone has a costume or a mask. Or everything from like just like drawing like paint on your face mm-hmm. to like holographic tiger masks and everything. Even just people walking down the street. No one's like a superhero really, but everyone has a secret identity because all their shit's out in the open. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And there's like weird like futuristic technology like what do they call it? A cloak coat or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like a holographic thing.
Yeah. And you can like kind of turn invisible.
Yeah, like Ghost in the Shell, sort of like, yeah, a camouflage.
Yeah,
stuff.
Beautifully rendered world by
Martine.
And the color, I can't remember the colorist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Munsa. And she like totally kicks it with the colors. And it like the skies are like bright pink and there's like neon greens and like bright blues. And it's this sort of noir story, but it's neo-noir from the colors and the art style. It's really, really good. And the thing is, it's free.
Well, it's pay what you want.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're completely correct.
It is the Radiohead thing.
Somebody has been a cheap bitch.
Yeah, really? No. It's free. No, it's not.
No, I actually downloaded. No.
$3.99 is what I paid per issue.
I think I paid... immediately downloaded it without doing the credit card stuff because I just wanted to read it. And then I went back and paid $4. Okay. And the second one I love so much, I paid him $5.
Oh,
and I wrote him a little note like saying thank you. And that because this book is better than the rest, I paid him more than the rest cost. So,
But yeah, no, it's just Google Private Eye. They have their own little distribution thing. It's cool.
PanelSyndicate.com.
There you go. Now, did anybody read 10 grand?
Yes.
This is contentious. Really. And actually very timely because a lot of people don't like JMS or J. Michael Straczynski because of some of the things he's done and said and some of the storylines he's abruptly left and they were terrible anyway, not mentioning any specifics. But this is his work with Ben Temple Smith and it is basically Constantine.
Oh, yeah. It's just
it's
a dark mature.
Constantine meets Spawn.
Yeah, well, but okay. I got you. Yeah. Now, Temple Smith's art is really good and I like his style. But actually, in this kind of, I don't know, it's a little muddy at times for me, and I'm just like, oh God, what the hell? I don't even know what I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to play this for him over at Heroes Con. Listen to what he said.
No. I think his style is great, and I just don't know in this book, it's not my favorite pairing, is what I'm saying. I like this, I like chocolate, like peanut butter, but together, you know, well, it's delicious. But, you know, in this case, they don't go well together.
Bad expression.
Yeah, that was bad.
No. It's like food.
If I want to date a Hispanic man, I'm going to date a Hispanic man. How dare you?
Oh, are they peanut butter?
That's what I call.
Oh, girl.
Just so smooth.
So, I don't know. So you guys like it then? Do you enjoy the first issue?
Well, we
have
one issue.
I mean, it was fine. It's better than Chen Music. Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't even check that one out.
I scanned it.
What about sex?
I like sex.
Well, we all like sex.
Not really.
But do we like the book?
I do. It's another neo-noir. Yes. The art and the writing is just like top-notch. I didn't like Joe Casey's Butcher Baker, Righteous Maker at all.
A little crazy.
But this, it's just really good. It's like Night Owl from Watchmen almost, where it's like sex-repressed superhero.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of sex in the book, and it's like crazy orgies and stuff, but it's not really about that. It's not about being titillated.
It's the reaction he has to it.
Numb to the sex, mm-hmm. and just watching like him go through, and you sort of find out about why he's like this, and you don't even get to see him as a superhero. It's, you see, like, I think, like, one of his gauntlets, and that's the most you've seen of his, yeah. him in a costume.
And his
in
foes. The past. Yeah, cat, the vaguely Catwoman like, madam of the.
Yes.
You know, with this book, I don't know if I like it or not.
Okay.
It's a, for me, it's okay. Like, I get what it's doing. It's like, it's, I'm not losing that aspect. But what it's giving me is kind of lukewarm.
Okay. It's a slow burn, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I can deal with that. Yeah. I'm going to continue to read it. Mm-hmm. It's just, if I was actually paying for books, I probably wouldn't keep going.
I would issue.
After the next issue, if I wasn't caught by then,
yes.
I couldn't do it.
That is a good point. No, that's a very good point. It has not had that moment that really grabs you yet.
That wow moment.
The hook. It has not done that. But it's interesting, and it's about sex, ostensibly, and it's very titillating, a lot of the pictures, a lot of the stuff. So
I'm,
from
like,
that
I'm like, it's not titillating. It's, oh, it's very titillating.
It's porn.
It's got some stuff in it. I mean, it doesn't have too many. I just think the gay villains in there, like the two guys.
Yeah, I like
them.
That's
kind of funny. But anyway, it's good. Eric, what were you going to say?
No, there was a book, that, a new book, indie, that came out this week.
Next Testament?
Was that the one?
That was Clive
good.
Barker.
Yeah,
that was good.
Can we talk about The Wake next?
Oh, yeah. And The Wake. But that's DC.
I didn't see that. Oh,
it's kind of, I mean, it's in their Vertigo.
Is it their Vertigo?
Stable. Can we talk about it in our, indie,
sure.
in our indie section?
Sure, yeah.
I thought this was great. Yeah. I feel like this is sort of a book. I've been waiting for a book to hook me like this. Mm-hmm. It's about, it's sort of, it starts like in the future. We're in the
dystopian future.
It
seems to be the MO this year.
Yeah, where the world is like flooded, and then it goes back in time. We meet this woman. She's a sort of marine biologist, or she listens to. You know, there's a special name for it. I forget, but she listens to sounds in the ocean and like the sounds that whales make and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some guy recruits her and brings her on a team of experts, and no one knows what's going on. And then they discover this weird creature that makes this crazy noise that she's been brought on to decipher.
It's supposed to like sounding like almost. Like actual words and
right, but the thing is, she's heard it before, and that's the page that really got me. He said, or someone said, have you ever heard this before? And then there's this flashback, this beautifully drawn page by Sean Murphy, right?
Oh,
who did
Punk Rock Jesus.
Oh my gosh, that page was absolutely amazing. Of just something was happening with her in the water, like it looks like a very traumatic event with a family member or something. Oh, that so good.
I actually did not pick this up, but now I want to. What about the Killjoys preview that I only saw, so we'll skip that. Are there any other indie books? I know Prophet came out. It was like confusing as hell.
I never get a chance to read Prophet.
Well, I haven't.
So, I'm going to have to borrow
it. Any other indie books?
Next Testament. Old Testament. God. Trapped in a tomb.
A rainbow one.
Yeah.
Gets
released.
Yeah.
And goes batshit crazy.
Really?
It was great. I liked it.
Oh, I need to pick that up, too.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Next Testament by Clive Barker.
Yes, I'm excited.
Is anyone reading Morning Glories?
Not anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I think I've reached the point, and I don't say this, I don't want to say this negatively, I don't want to hate on the series or anything, because I think it's really cool that Nick Spencer and Joe Eisma, you know, may have this indie hit.
Now that he put his name out there, now he has to be politically correct.
I never like to hate on anything.
No, and Joe's art is not the problem. It's beautiful.
Actually, that's what I was bringing up is that I reviewed it, and Joe Eisman like hit me up on Twitter and was like, because I said some bad things about his art, just that I thought it was probably his worst looking issue, his least consistent looking issue.
Uh-huh.
There were like eyes going the wrong way that didn't look right, and oops. And
so what'd he say?
No, he was just like, oh, well, I think you'll notice that, you know, we had three different colorists on this. And if you saw my inks, you would know that, you know, nothing that I did was wrong. It was, you know, it's probably the colorist. And I only listed him. I didn't talk about the colorist.
Right.
But
so when we see him at Heroes Con, he's going to be all awkward.
Yeah. He's going to be like, what the fuck, man? And then, you know, they're going to take me into the dungeon and.
You can
set me on fire and throw me into the portal.
Girl, Gay Days is coming. You don't have to talk about your fantasy.
No, his fantasy
I was trying to make a Morning Glories reference, but I guess not. No, but you know, I've reached the point where every issue seems like people are sitting in a room and they're trying to, like, they're asked questions to someone who knows answers, and they won't give them to them.
Well,
that's,
I'm
like,
sorry.
Every single issue, I feel like it's that. And but now it's the point where there's, like, five of that going on across the school, and I don't know what I'm reading anymore. And well, they had a recap page at the end, and it made me more confused. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if this is what I'm supposed to be, like, getting out of this book, then I've lost. So I think I have to drop it.
Well, they came out with that dollar issue that was all misprinted, and nobody noticed.
What happened?
No, it was all misprinted. There was all things that weren't printed correctly. Like, things, boxes and words were all put out of order, out of content, and nobody noticed.
Oh, wow.
Nobody noticed.
Really? When was
this? Nobody brought it back to change it.
That book had
nobody
such
complained.
Not on. One. And now, it's kind of...
That's when you know, there's something wrong with this book. So, something wrong with this book.
Let's move into the big books. I know Green Lantern is very eventful this past week. Big things came to an end in a very dramatic and self-congratulatory sort of way.
What?
Okay, so first of all, let's deal with the price point. It's $8, $7.99 for this end of the Geoff Johns era of Green Lantern book.
60 pages.
60 pages, very lots of story, but also lots of, I like Geoff, Geoff's great. Oh, congratulations on this. Like, I think it was at least 8 spread throughout the whole book.
Well, you finished a 9-year run on
did
an award-winning
Bendis
book?
Get this for Avengers or any of his?
Did you read
Spider-Man?
His Avengers?
No, I'm not.
Did you read End Times?
Hold on, I'm not saying I liked it more, but I'm just saying I feel like DC. Originally, I thought it was. I mean, obviously Geoff Johns did not plan this, but I do feel like it was a big old DC kissing his ass and saying how great he is, and he did a great job. I enjoyed the issue, but I hated every other page being a. You know, quote.
We love
thing.
You.
Yeah.
You wanna know, we love you, Wonder saying. Woman.
You want to know what? I read it digitally, and they put all those pages in the back. So,
which works better.
So when I got the print version, I was like, what the heck? So I actually do think that if in the back, it seemed like okay.
Okay.
Like, it didn't bother me. I was like, oh, this is nice and
like
sweet. Oh, there's
page.
Neil Gaiman. Yeah. Like,
no,
yeah.
They were very sweet, and I love Geoff Johns. He did a great job. I have rarely said anything bad about him. And it wasn't his decision. It was the DC.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating comics if you earned it.
Sure.
And I think
he's earned
you know,
it.
He
earned
did.
It.
But I did notice, you know, Bendis didn't do that and everything.
No.
It was much more now, just like a handing of the torch thing.
Well, Bendis
than
thought
a parade.
The Avengers were already established. Geoff Johns took Green Lantern that nobody gave a crap
true.
About and made him
very true.
Made
not,
him
it's not although, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman anymore. It's now he's part of that.
True, yeah. True. Although Bendis did take the Avengers and elevate them and
he
made
did,
them exciting.
But they were already established, you know.
You know, you're correct. It was they were more established than Green Lantern, well, way more. But I do think that Bendis sort of brought them up to another level.
Now, let's talk about the story itself. I know some people have lost interest in Green Lantern over the last, you know, year or whatever. Do we think that it was a successful storyline with the whole First Lantern? And did we really like this ending kind of epic, you know, kind of escalation of powers and, you know, how Jordan becomes a Black Lantern and Sinestro takes on Parallax and just...
Well,
like
I mean,
that?
I think the ending was great. I think the whole build-up I didn't really care for. The whole Wrath and the Third Army and all that, I wasn't a huge fan. I wanted to, but I think the ending just made... I love the ending.
Yeah.
That double-sized book was just fantastic, how he ended it
I
all.
Did like Sinestro's arc, and the only thing about the way everything sort of ends up is it ends up. Like, he gave sort of definitive endings for a lot of
the
characters.
End. The end.
It is the end, like Marvel did, but as written by Geoff Johns, a guy who's written this thing for years, or for almost a decade. And so I think that kind of does a disservice to Venditti and Filkov and all the other guys coming along.
Filkov walked off the book. He's not on it anymore.
Yeah.
Charm's soul is taking its place.
Yeah, but
yes.
I mean, it does a disservice to them.
I don't want to say it's a disservice.
It's a clean slate. I think it's a clean slate. He could do whatever he wants now.
No, yeah.
Except here's
although,
how it all ends.
Yeah, that bothered me as well as I was reading it. I was like, but, you know, how are we ever going to be scared for Hal Jordan's life again, knowing that he survives
exactly.
Happy ending with Carol? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, like, we know, is Kyle going to be the White Lantern forever? Because it shows that he...
Jesus?
He's at, like, the end of... He's at, like, the end of time, like, curing people, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what, am I masturbating to knowing that Jean Grey's going to come back? No, she's not.
Here's,
my face is not coming.
Here's what I will say. I like stories that say, this is what I want to do, and I don't care about the rest of you bitches. I mean, that's what it kind of come across as, but like we as comic book readers and you know, just lovers of stories know that timelines and you going to the end of someone's timeline doesn't always stand true.
Yeah.
And we know it's going to change, But for that instant, for that moment, we got what we wanted.
Yes.
All of the struggles, all of the heartbreak yep. and heartache are done.
And this
they
is
are happy.
This could have been his vision of how he wanted to end
it. Oh, I think so.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, if he kept writing to the end, this yeah. is how he wanted to
and
end it.
And in comics nowadays, honestly, they're never going to get to those points.
No, there's always something that happens so, that changes reality.
This is as much as, like, the end was in Marvel. This is our chance to tell you the end of the story, knowing we're never going to get there.
If this
what are you referencing? Marvel? What?
How they did that whole line of the end books and how Bendis
oh,
is doing
X-Men the end. Fantastic
Bendis
Four,
is doing
oh,
now in the days. I mean, it's like all these writers that did like seminal runs on different uh-huh. like Claremont did the like multiple ones for the X-Men. I mean, Jesus. Ugh. And, you know, they were of mixed quality. That's the thing. But, like, Bendis is doing the end of Daredevil right now.
So are we saying that it's because of those, it makes it okay that he did this?
Yeah, it's a trope that others have done before, and this is basically his version of that.
Yeah, I feel like if anyone deserves to get to do that, though, I feel like it was him.
Well,
like,
right.
He earned the right, like I was saying before.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, as far as, like, I guess just as a month-to-month reader, getting somebody excited about that next step in the journey, I don't know that this does that, as well as if you had just...
Well,
handed it off to
I feel like this
guy.
Is you know the exception to the rule that it's supposed to be an yeah. end and not a oh well let me get you excited for what Rob Riven did he's gonna do
yeah.
But I was so excited for what happened to Sinestro
because
you know
so
Hal he lost his home mm-hmm. he got infected by Parallax and he killed the Guardians. What did Sinestro do? He lost his home, he lost Kurugar, he got infected by Parallax, and he murdered the Guardians. He's
some,
the exact same thing.
But not all.
Oh, you're right. But no. You're right. Although, didn't Hal Jordan miss Gambit as well?
I don't know how
and
well.
Then he went,
Gambit.
And he
that's
went,
the one we care
and he
about.
Went and gave a ring to Kyle Rayner.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah. Is that how that worked? Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember.
We care about
Kyle.
No, but I thought that was
back,
great.
What's her name?
And because...
Say.
Yes.
Yes. And... because that happened to Sinestro, he could finally be even with Hal Jordan.
Hmm.
And he could finally say, you know, what does he say to him? You know,
we've always been friends.
Yeah, we've always been. That's
the
tragedy of all this,
yeah.
that we'll always be friends. On a side note, I interviewed Geoff Johns today.
No shit.
I did, yeah.
Congratulations.
And I started and I was like, okay, you're not going to remember me. But he's like, yeah, I met you at MegaCon. And I was like, because he knew that I was interviewing already. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you're at the Robot Chicken panel. And I was like, and he's dressed as Green Lantern. I was so embarrassed.
That's awesome. Was
that's
it a phone?
That's awesome.
I was about to tell him the story that he ended up telling me.
Was
yeah,
it a phone it was, interview? Or like
it was a phone interview, yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
No, yeah, he was super cool and nice and awesome.
Cool.
And, but no, yeah, Green Lantern, I mean, you could. I really like how, you know, Hal became... like the master of will. He willed himself back to life.
Yeah.
He used Necron, the Lord of Death, as a construct because mm-hmm. he was just so... He's,
that was awesome.
He really just yeah. came full circle. He's experienced all the emotions, and now he's experienced death again. And then it finished
right.
the way it started with a rebirth.
Actually, was he ever a Star Sapphire?
I think that's oh, you're right. He didn't.
He hasn't been a Star
But he was
Sapphire.
Fucking Carol so much that he got inside. Some.
Oh, wait, was he an Indigo Lantern? Did he do the knock knock?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't think he was that.
No,
so
no
Sinestro was.
But,
yeah.
but still, he's been a
but
lot of
But he was
of
there
devils.
Like along the way,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and, you know, maybe he's not compassionate enough to be that.
Well,
so, he's not
you know,
Kyle.
And this is like a
not
total,
loving or
like,
compassionate.
I'm throwing it out there. Well, if Sinestro and Hal are two ends of a spectrum,
uh-huh.
the one completes the other.
Yeah, I like that. So, can we say sad news right now? James Robinson is leaving Earth 2.
Oh, thank yep. God.
What?
What?
Oh, it's not, that's a really bad title.
Oh, the title? Oh, wait. Wait, you mean the title is bad or the book is bad?
The book quality.
You're crazy, and I don't care if you just interviewed Geoff Johns, you're crazy.
I've said this, you know, it's overwritten. He's actually personally, like, attacked me on Twitter for reviewing him negatively. I said he was, like, overwriting, like, and, you
what
know.
What do you mean overwriting, like? Saying too much or
yeah saying like way too like just speaking like the plot like out loud over and over again really blatantly like not
okay.
not there's no like grace to the writing there's no it's not very smooth it's
like,
very
I will
you
say
know.
Earth 2 is not Starman but I think part of that is he's not trying to do Starman all over again he's trying to give new life to these very classic characters which he loves. I heard him on Word Balloon.
He's done some... No, I heard him on Word Balloon, too, and he's a super nice guy, it sounded like. But and I've liked a lot of his stuff in the past. I like him.
But I like Earth, too, actually. I really am enjoying this different take on these classic characters. And I'm sad because I don't know really without him driving it. I mean, unless they get somebody interesting and maybe it does do really well and keeps going, I feel like this is going to kind of, the book's going to go downhill and maybe get canceled.
Oh, no. I feel like it'll be a godsend for it, like, to give it a chance. Like, did you read the new one with the new Batman?
I haven't read that yet.
Oh, man. That was just like...
Bad?
Batman was in, like, I think, like, three pages of it. We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
He was in, like, three pages of it. The whole thing was about Captain Atom, was it?
Yeah.
And I liked, actually, that part. It was the first... I was like, wow, this is, like, really interesting, and I like that. And then it got to... And it stuck in the Batman stuff, and I'm like, this makes no sense. I'm not excited for it. This was, like, poorly done.
Oh, the annual? Yeah, the annual was terrible.
Well, I think...
Aha!
The annual was terrible.
Here's
it was boring
the thing about
and wordy
that.
And blah.
Here's the thing about that. What has been the problem with DC titles throughout the line, and we've had writers leave because of it, editorial oversight, editorial kind of being too strong, too... Is it possible that some of the things you don't like are related to that?
That they made him put in Batman when maybe he had a whole story? It could be.
No.
You don't know.
I don't know, and that's the thing. I am dying for the 10 years from now, somebody writes a tell-all about DC during this whole thing, because I am just... I mean, just, oh my God. It's going to be like the 90s all over again with the type of stories that you hear about editors rewriting everything and just, oh.
I mean, I feel like he might be leaving because of that. That's a possibility, but I don't think that the story is bad because of that. I feel like his execution is what is I don't like about
well,
it.
Well, I like his series. That the annual was the whole, you know, the build up with the Batman, but no payoff with the Batman. Mm. And that really bothered me.
Well, it was like his what the fuck moment where he did Mr. Miracle. And he literally, like, it was one panel.
Shoved it in there.
Yeah.
And shoved it in this one, too.
Yeah. But again, that's something I feel like is editorial. But.
No, I will say not every issue of Earth 2 for me is like rock solid.
Right.
But I've enjoyed it. And when it's been good for me, it's been good. So. Yeah. Let's keep moving.
Green Arrow. I will say this.
Oh, keep moving.
No, I think the art, and I forgot the artist's name.
Andre Sorrentino.
Thank you. And Jeff Lemire are really doing a good job with a character who I really like. And I think it ties thematically somewhat, not really, but somewhat to the TV show. And yet it looks very different from most other DC books because of the art style, because of the way he's telling the story. It's one of my favorite DC books, and I'm not dropping it, whereas I'm dropping, like, a lot of other ones because I'm just tired of them. So,
I feel like he's finally becoming Oliver Queen, because this whole time before,
yes,
he was Roy Harper.
Yes.
And now he's becoming Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
You know, which I do like the whole breakout with that. And mm-hmm. It's a little bit darker. It's a lot darker
a lot
than
darker.
He has been. And they're about to do a face-off with him and Roy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
about to come to a head.
I did enjoy the Swamp Thing. No, I'm sorry, not Swamp Thing. Animal Man. Because they went back and did the whole Buddy Baker, the movie thing he did.
Yeah, that was
cool. That was cool. I liked that. I didn't...
Great art.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I dropped Swamp Thing. Does anybody still reading it?
I like the new Swamp Thing.
I thought with Snyder leaving, it was not going to be whatever, and then I've heard it was good. So
it's been very good.
I got to go back.
Yeah, Charles Soule, I think he's giving a different tone. I didn't really love Snyder's. It was very, like, dark and morbid, which is cool. People can get into that. It's not my thing.
Uh-huh.
But he's, like, making Swamp Thing, like, funny. And he has him. He writes Superman very well. He has Superman guest star.
Yeah.
He's like going through the green. We see like cactus Swamp Thing. He rides in the desert. Then he goes back in the green. He comes out and he's like in this lush forest.
That's
Swamp
cool.
Thing. And
yeah, I have to go get the issues.
Yeah. And,
what other
and he calls himself a. He's like, Superman's a man. I'm a salad.
All right, that's cool.
He's like, yeah.
That's funny.
Reflecting on being. Swamping.
What
it was
else?
Fun. Okay,
what other
sorry.
Good DC books are there? Of course, Batman, Snyder, Capullo.
Wonder Woman has been great.
I heard Wonder Woman was good.
Gosh, who's the one who came after Wonder Woman, and they like had another fight?
Apollo? No, Artemis.
Was it Moon? Is it Artemis?
Moon. Artemis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Artemis.
Oh man, that was so good. And Wonder Woman takes off. It was great.
Did anybody read the new Flash with Manipul back?
I need to borrow all of your Flashes because I'm waiting for the second volume to come out, and it still hasn't fucking come out.
Well, I'm glad to hear Manipul's back. I actually didn't get the issue last time. Missed it. But he's back, and it's Reverse Flash, and I'm excited because I love Manipul. The reason I've been reading that Flash since John's left is because of Manipul. His art is beautiful. I love his style, and so he's back. So, any other DC stuff?
No, I think we're good to move on to Marvel.
The Invisible Jet? No.
Oh, Lord. So, Marvel, shit ton of books. We'll try to burn through these. I will just say this. The last issue of Daredevil.
Oh, God. How many times am I going to have to hear about reading Daredevil?
Did I already tell you this?
Lawyer.
Oh, no. No. Mark.
He can see.
Mark Waid and Chris Samnee produced probably one of the most beautiful and touching by the backstory issues of this series I've ever read. And it's cool because it's tying together all these threads that they've been building up to. And
is it the one he gets mugged? Is this where he gets mugged?
Well, no, it's after. I don't know. I don't know if you get mugged, but it's
never get mugged.
It's after the Ikari confrontation, but Ikari is kind of like, I'm going to come get you, but you're not going to know when. And so he's kind of second guessing all these people, but they're actually you know, people who Ikari, and you find out Bullseye is involved and coming back. And,
oh yeah, I like
and
that.
And he's in this iron lung, and he's not.
It's funny because Bullseye has lost all his senses but sight. And whereas Daredevil has all of them but sight, yeah. So they're like polar opposites.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But I mean, the illustration, like Samnee is so good, and he spends so much time even on background. You know, there's these comics now with like no background. You just got the guy in the foreground. It's like a white background, and it's like,
you know how much of a pain in the ass it is to draw a background.
I would imagine, but this guy kills it, and every little face is distinct. And I'm just telling you, Samnee is one of these guys who. I have bought a few pieces, original pieces, not of his, but I think he's next on my list. I want to own something he's done because it's just beautiful.
I second that.
Wolverine and the X-Men, how do we feel about the future issue?
Oh, I loved it.
They jumped forward.
Oh, I loved it. I almost cried. I thought it was great. Wow. I gave it like a 9.7 when I reviewed it.
The Gene, you know, when he's like listing all these bad things that have happened, and he just says,
Gene.
I'm like, of course it's Gene. Now, I will say this because I've talked about Roman Perez. He's another artist that I really enjoy. He killed it on this issue, and I think his other issues up to that were not as good.
Oh, wait a minute. Was he responsible for that circus debacle?
No. Savage Land and Dog. And
okay, yeah, no, it. that I like. I always love this book. Sometimes I'm kind of ambivalent whether I like it or not, but it's just, it's a very different book. I'm excited every time an issue comes out. I just started reading the next issue.
Yeah,
it was good. I haven't finished it yet, but it's been great.
Which one? The one that's like the prologue to the...
No, I read that. Yeah. We're talking about Hellfire Saga.
The one that just
saga.
Came out was, I love the Hellfire Kids. I love these crazy little fucking bastards.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun, it's different, it's funny. I'm all for it.
I'm glad they're finally getting to pay off the whole Hellfire thing, because they've been building, trying to, you know, show this huge story.
Well, ABX got in the way.
Oh, well, yeah.
They built it, and then ABX happened.
Right.
You know, and they had to bring it right back.
And Wolverine wasn't really taking them very seriously up until now. That they tried to murder Brew. And they stole like two of his kids.
I'm a bro.
I know, so and now he's like he's feral, and he's not.
Yeah, I hope they fix that, and he goes back to happy, intelligent Brew.
Yeah. Did you see the one? I love Roman Perez's art, and that whole issue looked great, except for one character, Kitty Pryde, and her like demon smile face.
Oh no! I didn't
both
see
panels
that.
With her in it. It was like. It was.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go back and look at that.
I have to look back.
I couldn't believe. Like the whole thing looked great, and he drew like Dupe reading an X-Men comic, which I thought was hilarious.
I love all the little in jokes with like Dupe and all that stuff.
Dupe's one of my favorites. So now, whenever he's in there, I have to mention.
Speaking of crazy Wolverine stuff, Age of Ultron. What the fuck?
Oh no! Let me help you out.
Okay.
Issue 9. I have read. I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
You know what? I was enjoying it up until it was a 10-part event.
It's
I think
part of it.
Seven, all the way up to seven. I was one through seven. I was like, slow storytelling, weird stuff going on. I love it. Then 8 hit, and I was like, wait, still nothing is kind of happened, and all we're doing is getting like a weird solution, like the technovirus. Uh-huh. And then I read 9 as well. And then even then, I'm like, okay, I see things happening on the page, but I don't really, I'm
but
not
isn't
really
there
getting
another 4-part finale? Okay. It's like, it's not over
that's
yet.
That's right, they did say that.
It's like a 4-part finale. Wait, so it's 14 issues. There's another 4-part mini that's supposed to be the finale of this.
No.
There's issue 10, which is the last hardcore issue.
Where we're going to see Angela and something
Age
crazy.
Age of Ultron, AI,
right?
Which is the finale one-shot. Then there's Avengers AI, which is like this 4-part mini. So there's... Like,
there's more, honey. It's not over. It's not over.
No, I just feel like he's gonna like hit us over the head with something like big, like in air quotes, and then also throw in Angela somehow. But you know, nothing in the story is like you can't. I'm wondering if you'll be able to go back and see where the story is going to wind up. Do you guys have like anything going for this? Can you point to anything and be like, oh, well, because this is here, they talked to this character there, and Invisible Woman is here, then clearly, you
nope,
know.
I'm just waiting.
What happened?
See, I'll say this, and I don't have Red 9 and all that. I really think that when they actually did the, okay, we're going back to the past and we're killing, what's his name?
Hank Pym.
Like, that's when it hit me that Age of Ultron is like Age of Apocalypse. And it's like House of M.
Right.
It's this alternate sort of shift, and here's this what if, basically, that we're going to explore for a while. And then once he's done with that, things will probably go back to normal for most of the books.
He wrote House of M, too, didn't he?
Yes.
And that was just a big status quo change,
yes,
right?
Yes. But, and so that's what I'm thinking is going to come out of this. There will be status quo changes. We know at least Angela's going to show up or whatever. But I think there's going to be some big status quo changes. Some people have said Wolverine might get killed. And there's all kinds of theories out there.
Because that'll happen.
But
there's a theory that Marvel's going to reboot itself. I'm like, they're not stupid enough.
No. They're not.
They just did now.
Because that's the thing. Most of these stories, like what Hickman's doing on Avengers, what Remender's doing with Uncanny Avengers, all that's going to keep going.
Yeah.
It may tie in, they did that, but that's not going to be changed. That's not going to be reset.
Unless they do what he did in House of M, that everybody remembered what happened.
That
they could see what happens because of what Pym does, and you know, and they could start taking precautions.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, what the fuck? That was all. And, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was. Now, let's talk about Thor God of Thunder real quick. We all love this book.
Love it. I didn't read the new one. Did you?
Oh, girl.
There's a new one? Oh, it's on my retail list.
Oh, you bitches.
Well, you know, so in between like bouts of sobriety this weekend. Good luck.
So, three gods of thunder all riding into the thing with glorious heavy metal playing in the background. It is just like
that's
crazy.
The cover of the next one. It's all three of them. Yeah, it looked beautiful.
And I actually really think the idea of Gore as this guy who hates God and hates gods, and that whole, what does it mean to you as someone with faith? You believe in a God, but you hate him because of what he's done to your life and all that stuff. That's interesting to play with as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that that's being done. Now, Uncanny Avengers, which did tie into Age of Ultron a little bit. You guys enjoying that? Or is that a little too...
It's gotten better for me.
Yeah.
I think tying it back into Uncanny X-Force, which is...
Yeah. Really I love it.
That made it a lot better. But I still liked a lot of the Red Skull stuff. I just think he was hindered by the fact that he was working with an artist that just couldn't keep up. And, you know,
I don't know, storytelling issues. I think it was the writing that was a little too much was going on there. But now he's got it. He's back. He's talking about Apocalypse.
Exactly. Once he brings
Archangel's
back Apocalypse,
kids,
he's good.
He's like everything that would have been cheesy, like... Elsewhere is like it's just awesome. Daniel Acuna,
yeah.
Oh man, he's slaughtering it on art. It's
which I'm not a huge
ridiculous.
Acuna fan, but really? I love his work.
Yeah,
well, because he always makes the girls like the Cupid dolls, and I could never get into it. They always had the rosy cheeks; they look like you shatter. But now I really think he's bringing a lot of depth and a lot of maturity to them, and
you're
I really
right.
like it now.
Totally right. And with Thor and Sunfire,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
With that the falling satellite thing,
that was
so
great.
Good.
Uncanny, I'm sorry, Uncanny. So that's Uncanny Avengers. Now we have Avengers and New Avengers, which are actually starting to sort of a little bit. They kind of made a reference to one. And
Eric, have you gotten back on the Avengers bandwagon?
No, I can't.
He gave up.
I read them. No, I read it.
No, yeah,
but I don't like it.
And I'm.
It's too big for me.
I'm loving this Avengers. Like the only reason I kept reading New Avengers with Bendis is because Doctor Strange was in it, and that's what kept me in. But, like, this Avengers, like, this is the Avengers that people like me who like really big, overarching,
sci-fi,
long,
crazy,
sci-fi,
epic,
like, this is my Avengers.
Yeah.
This is what I needed for years.
Mm-hmm. See, it's just too big. It's too much.
But
it's too many different characters at once. It's not a core.
Do you like New Avengers?
I love New Avengers.
I love that because it's just so focused on what they're doing.
It's focused on them.
Big threat, but focus on
these
characters.
And that's what I like. It's
but,
the focus
but back
core.
Up here.
There's
Avengers,
no core there.
Avengers is smart. Because it has this big epic story, but in the middle of that epic story, you have issues like the heist.
Oh, which was fun.
Which was hilarious. Yeah. Great little character piece. All the characters funny, sexy, smart. And then you had the next one where you had basically my two gay dads, or not gay, but you know, Thor and Hyperion raising the kids, and a lot of sort of meta commentary about what it means to raise children in a world that's very bleak and full of scary shit.
Boring.
Like, No.
You're a parent. You'll understand.
But they were not parents. That's the thing.
There was some interesting commentary about
it. There was a moment. There was a couple of panels that they were. For me, it was. And I'm noticing the customers dropping off, so.
Well, I'm sad about that because I love Hickman and I trust him that in like another six issues, that major plot point's going to hit.
You can't. Another six issues. If you expect people to jump on that long, I know.
But this is how FF
But he
was.
Does. There are issues. No. I read it. I get really bored. And I'm like, ugh. But then there's an issue. I'll be like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I'll jump in. And I'll read the next one. I'll be like, ugh.
He's spoon-feeding the crack just a little bit at a time.
But see, in New Avengers, I think he's just giving me a great story.
You know, New Avengers is a very well every minute close of the New knit, Avengers. Tight. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But Black I love Swan. Both of them for different things.
Oh, that whole thing. She's pretty fascinating. Hot. And I can't wait for Black Panther and Namor to go at it. I'm, like, ready to jerk off to that.
Nice. So, Superior Spider-Man, are we excited or are we sad by the, oh, I'm going to wash that Peter
right out of my brain.
I mean, I would have actually been shocked if they actually did flip the status quo then. Like, I was like, they're not going to do this. It's too early in the run. They're going to play this out for a while longer, and that's what they did. But, I mean, I heard so many people who were just, like, pissed off.
You know, bitches complain left and right, but Superior Spider-Man is still, like, the top-selling book.
Is it really?
It's great storytelling.
I think it's brilliant storytelling. It's really interesting. It's, like, I'd never read I read Spider-Man, like, in little bits. I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I'll check this issue out. And then I follow it for a storyline and then drop off. Now I'm, like, glued to it. I'm, like, really fascinated. So, well, I'm glad to hear it's selling well. It's a lot of fun. And the art's killer by Stegman.
Am I the one who doesn't like that?
What?
You don't like Superior?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But see, now here's the thing I'm noticing with you. You don't like certain books because you've gotten into issues with the writers on Twitter.
That has nothing to do.
I think it has a little. With anything. I think it has a little.
That has nothing to do with it. I just find it, his writing is like, it's
jokey.
It's like jokey, but it's almost corny, is what it is.
Yeah,
well, it's Doc Ock. It's not Peter. No. You know, and he is an old man.
Even before this, I was having trouble just like digesting it, and like he kind of writes everyone in this kind of corny thing. It's very bland, and everyone's like over talking. Like I think that's it. When people give me too much, I go eh. I like people like The Wake was just so like pitch perfect. The writing was
less
very like crisp.
More. Less
you know,
is more, so.
Like I like people who can say a lot with a few words.
That's not always the case.
Well, no, we wouldn't even go there. So, Hawkeye or Hawk Guy or whatever, which now that you told me that shirt exists with the little Hawkeye.
Hawk Block.
Oh my God, I want that shirt so bad. But no, seriously, the Franco Villa issue about that killer who I guess kills the guy who's like grilling the steak.
Grills,
yeah. I mean, like that was a really cool issue. And Franco Villa is, I love his art. And it sort of fit the style, but yet it had its own kind of noirish thing, which he does. I'm in love with that book. I think it's going to be just such a nice gem to have on my shelf, you know, someday when they've put like the absolute, you know, edition out.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I think, some of the best Fraction stuff that's come out from Marvel.
Yeah.
I think he really hits the right notes of his style.
For sure. I can't wait for the Pizza Dog centric issue.
That's the next one.
I saw a preview of it. It's really good.
Oh, I'm excited. I love dogs.
I can't wait.
Thanos Rising, I love Jason Aaron and I trust him, but I still think this book's just
it's like a huge seller. I saw it's like dominating sales.
I love Thanos.
I don't know a lot about Thanos.
I dropped it after the first issue.
It's the art that's killing me, I think. Bianchi is not one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, I can't read anything where iguanas are butchered. I'm just kidding.
You like those? No. I don't, as much as I want Thanos to be somewhat sympathetic, like I like what they're doing with like Hannibal. And some
well,
of these
the
other
third
things,
issue,
but,
yeah,
yeah. Like, I haven't read the third.
Yeah,
So I don't know. And Young Avengers, we have to mention the fabulousness.
That book.
That book is so good that I am intrigued with Kid Loki that now I have to read Journey. Now I have to read
Journey
the whole
to
run.
Mystery was excellent.
Well, I mean, I never cared, you know?
So many people.
Now
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm fascinated. I want to know more about Kid Loki. I want to know about this other thing, consciousness he has.
I love that if he's carrying on that, I love that they're doing the Marvel Boy done just like Morrison used to do it, which is exactly what, to me, Marvel Boy should be. I love that Hulkling and Wiccan are getting like a really bunch of nice, like, relationship sort of beats. I don't know much about America.
Miss America.
I like her.
She's cool, but I just don't know enough about her to really appreciate it. And then who else is in the book? Hawkeye, Girl Hawkeye.
Yeah, we're going to get a Prodigy. We're going to get a Prodigy and a Speed issue. That book is just, it's gorgeous. It's smart. It's funny.
Yes.
It hits every beat that you need it to hit. It's,
that's I like everything except, I'm sorry, is Wiccan's hairstyle.
Oh, here we
you
don't, go.
Do you like his new outfit with like,
I
the
love
Eternity?
His new
the Donna Troy outfit? No.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking like
Eternity.
That's
going to be a bitch to draw.
I was like, God damn it.
Nice.
But that's Donna, the only thing seriously. I just don't like Wiccan's hairstyle at all.
Yeah, it's a little Flock of Seagulls, right?
Oh. Yeah. I'm here, flipped here.
That was actually the first issue where I really felt excited and like on board and I really liked. I got chills at his new outfit for some reason.
Yeah, no.
I was the same way.
Are
you going to cosplay as him at the next?
Oh, no. I have before.
I know.
I think my cosplaying days are behind
me. Oh, are there any other Marvel books that I am overlooking in all this crazy stuff that's going on? Uncanny X-Men, new X-Men.
X-Men number one came out.
The girls.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
The girls.
Now, I had to go back and look up who Sublime was. That's how rusty I was.
You know, that's Grant Morrison stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. I found out. But it is interesting, and we talked about this at the store. Is Jubilee still a vampire?
She's still a vampire.
Okay. Something with Wolverine's blood or something.
She can just do whatever she wants, and she's cool.
Wait, can she be out during the day?
She's out during the day.
Oh, she's like Blade. She's like,
on a train. Like,
with a baby.
That baby.
But I love that they call Psylocke the muscle. Rogue called Psylocke the Muscle.
That's funny.
And I was like, wow, okay.
She looks scary up on that roof.
I'll kill you.
With that,
I'll fucking kill you.
Cybo.
Yeah.
Well, now I was confused by the ending because I thought the little Sublime girl bacteria, whatever, was possessing the baby. But did that then transfer to that other person who shows up at the end?
Yeah,
or?
The Omega Sentinel?
I'm just confused by all that. I didn't know how
that was. I think for some reason the baby had like this spark in her or whatever. It was like a vessel for it. Yeah. I don't understand it. I think we're going to find out later. Yeah.
And you know, but, it's only like a 3-issue arc, like before Battle of the Atom comes in. So it'll be quick. It'll be good.
It's been late, but it was good. It was worth it.
And the artwork, Olivier Coypel.
Anything he does. All New X-Men's been really good. Uncanny X-Men's been really good.
Oh, you wait till you read the next issue. Oh, ooh, so good.
No.
Wait, of Uncanny?
I actually purposely skipped it.
Oh, so it's a big Jean Grey thing?
It's a lot, but
I'm sure all the pieces are falling into place.
I love how Bendis found the least offensive way to bring Jean Grey back and just give us pure, unspoiled Jean Grey.
And now he's spoiling
Did you think you'd be this happy?
No, I never thought I could be. I was so scared.
I never knew it could be this good.
I never knew. But I'm like, you know, I always model myself after her, and I'm no longer the Phoenix. I'm just a Marvel girl.
Aww.
With that 60s haircut.
Any other Marvel books? I think that's like the whole line.
Those are the big ones. If we miss something, don't kill us. It's just there's a lot.
Yeah,
and a lot of it's been really good.
And it's the beginning of Gay Days.
Yeah. And I gotta go.
Oh my God.
Joshua has to go.
Girls have things to do. If you have not checked out our recent interviews, I know we've been away for a bit, but we had an excellent interview with the geeky porn super god, Charlie Hardy.
Check out his pictures. They're blowing up on Facebook.
Fucking hot.
Yeah, they are.
Tell me about it.
Pat did.
Notifications on top. I'm like, God damn it.
Pat did a killer job, and this was back like last October, and we've been sitting on him for so long, and now everybody loves him. And then Eugene Rod Roddenberry was a delight to interview. We had a great time interviewing him. That is up on this previous to this. And we have some other exciting interviews coming up very soon. So stay tuned. Flame on Facebook, Flame On Show, Flame On Podcast at Twitter, which has been getting a little exciting and having some interesting conversations.
Oh, before we all go, can we talk about... Okay, so you know how like... Joshua, so you know how, you know, you're on certain social apps and you're like, oh, someone's Twitter, let's follow it. And you realize that Cute Boy was a rent boy. You're like, oh, well, that's new.
Cute Boy was a rent boy?
Was a rent boy.
Oh.
That happened. Boy.
Really?
Who
were you following that was a prostitute?
As a sex worker. A prostitute.
Who?
Really?
This person, I was like on this app. It was Grindr, let's be real.
Oh. I'm trying to be innocent. This app.
Yeah.
This social app.
But I'm just like,
that I was perusing.
Oh, he has a Twitter. Well, maybe he's a typo. Maybe he's smart. Maybe he's a hooker.
Wait a minute. So what do you tweet as a hooker?
Your hours of operation.
Okay. Well, we are not. Yeah, retweet. Flame On Podcast is not.
It's a production of Nerdy Show Incorporated. Blah, 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 blah. With that.
This is Joshua Yeo, Flaming Off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powdermilk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out FlameOnShow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.